Hello, this is Craig D. Lindsay, aka Uncle Krizzle, aka Black Larry David, aka Anastasia Beaverhausen, aka Unemployed Mayweather, aka Craig the Winer. I can go on and on, folks, but that is not my nicknames, is not what we're here for. What we're here for right now is for me to provide my commentary for the movie that you're hopefully watching right now, which is Collateral Beauty, because I saw this in December, and my jaw was agape throughout the entire time. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And I said to myself, like, if they still do DVD commentaries, I should do one of these. Because, you know, I'm watching it right now, and I can't believe what I'm witnessing. It's just, well, this is probably the first time maybe some of you are watching this. Because if it is the first time, maybe might want to just watch this without me yammering and shit, because I've been drinking. Because that's the only way I can go through this shit again. Just drinking. Yeah, I'm going to drink and talk through this and try to understand how the hell this happened. Think of me as just somebody who just, like, a cinephile who wants to know how the fuck movies like this happen, because it's got an all-star cast, and it is just a cacophony of bad ideas. Yes, I said it. Cacophony. A cacophony of bad ideas. And how they got all these people involved still blows my mind, so let me drink some more. Yeah, there's the three goddamn things. Love, time, death. And here, like, here, time has lapsed. And Will Smith isn't as youthful and full of vigor and vim as he once was. Three years later, and just and he's up in the doing these dominoes. Where the fuck he does in his office? That's what he does in his office. Just makes dominoes fall and shit. That's his whole thing. Like, and nobody in the office finds that odd. Just like our boss just does dominoes. He doesn't do work. So shouldn't somebody do something about that? I forget who does this song. Is it? Probably some British guy that listened to a lot of soul growing up, and this is what it is. Is it thinking? No, it's not Gary Clark. Somebody else. Sounds familiar, and just like it's gonna be stuck in my head all through this whole damn. David Frankel directed this, by the way. And here are their friends, Kate Winslet and Edward Norton and Michael Pena, sitting on a goddamn staircase watching this shit unfold. They are really letting people know that, like, right from the jump, that Michael Pena is going to die at some point, just coughing and shit like that. Just, by the way, spoiler alert, he's supposed to die and shit. So. Yeah, she's just downstairs wondering why the hell these bosses are sitting on the goddamn staircase and shit.
Shares. I'll deal with the Howard part, okay? Just push the paper, Simon.
So apparently Will Smith runs this big, I don't know, ad firm, agency, wherever the fuck it is. And it just, yeah, he controls everything. And unfortunately, he's just this big ball of grief who can't do shit. He just goes to the office and does the whole domino thing. And that's it. Apparently nobody can get to him, and his friends are trying to do this thing where they're trying to get to him and everything. Oh, man. Never been a big fan of white dudes with the, like, the paperboy caps to the back. Never. Only Sam Jackson can pull that off. And nobody else. Not even. Yeah, this is just. So, like, if you're a white dude over 40 and does that shit, just stop. This woman who looks like a Mormon grandmother, and it makes her very good at the whole stealth thing. Who hired the woman who caused her divorce? No, I caused my divorce. Sally Price just documented it. Wow, that was actually enlightening. I have hidden depth. We've discussed this. So, what the fuck was that exchange about? But, yeah, so, yeah, Edward Norton had an affair with somebody, and he's living with his mama. It's funny, it's like his divorce was, got him so, the wife just got him so good that he has to live with his mama and everything, so. And, he has a daughter that doesn't want anything to do with the motherfucker because the motherfucker was cheating and just. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on amongst the characters, not just Will Smith. All the characters are going through their own personal shit. Moral turpitude. Okay. How do you terrorize a grief counselor? That's the part of the story I always wanted to know. Like, what the fuck? What do you do to the grief counselor? Make it, you know, fuck this nigga. I want to deal with Will Smith's moping ass. You know, y'all can have him because he's inconsolable and everything. Just terrorize the grief counselor. Okay. And here, of course, we have Will Smith thinking back to his daughter and all the times when they were together and all that cute shit. In his apartment, barely furnished. All these books that he's read to figure out stuff. And now he's writing a letter. Who shall that letter be to? Let's find out together. the hell? Tell me they have these goddamn things in New York too, so.
He wants letters. Letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so apparently she gives zero fucks. Like, he's the best private detective in the world because she's willing to break the goddamn law. So, basically everybody involved in this movie is just a fucking, just unscrupulous person. You know, they make it seem like all these people are just doing this for the for the greater good, but they're all assholes. Just so sad, yeah.
Anything else?
Apparently this woman who plays the detective is very well known on... Is she on The Leftovers or some other show? I just, like, apparently, because every time I would read a review, they point out, oh, it's Ann Dowd! And I'd be like, who the fuck is Ann Dowd? And just apparently everybody, a lot of people know, I need to get on to whatever the hell she does. And so... By the way, the beer I'm drinking is New Belgium Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA, which is very hard to find in the greater Houston area. I mean, if I was back in Raleigh, I could just pick this up at a nearby grocery store, but I gotta go to Specs, to the downtown Specs to pick this up. So, so if you want to drink this with me, it's New Belgium Voodoo Ranger Imperial Ale. It's 9% ABV, so.
Is that Crimson?
He's sitting in the middle of the
right
living room.
Hey, don't keep leaving the food there. He doesn't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And he's late on his rent again. He doesn't answer his door, and I don't have a working number for him.
Yeah, he doesn't have a phone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How much does he owe? I'll write you a check.
That's what you ought to do. And if you're not doing anything with that shrimp, Rocky Rob last week was delicious.
Yeah. Hey, somebody's got to eat that shit, so. You know, the landlord's like, fuck it, I'll eat it. Yeah, he's riding his bike into traffic, because once again, to give the idea how he doesn't give a fuck, he is ready to give his life up, which is looking as unkempt as he did in I Am Legend. Just like, there's just... Will Smith, I'll just say it right now. Will Smith just looks ashy in this movie. He's like ash, just like he didn't put any cocoa butter on his face throughout the whole thing. And he's just ashy. So, I wonder if I should call him Ashy Willie for the duration of this whole thing. But. And here's this girl, whoever the hell she is, coming in. What the fuck made Edward Norton do this movie? I mean, seriously, I mean, I always thought Edward Norton was an actor at major standards. Remember when Paramount forced him to make the Italian Job, that remake with Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron, and he had like a bitch throughout the entire film, like production to promoting this movie. He just like, I wanted nothing to do with this. Like, and you saw it on his face. And it's just like, I don't want anything to do with this. And now he's making this shit, and just like, I'm assuming everybody involved with this needed, had house payments or boat payments. And just like, we're gonna all get together and do this. First of all, just like, think, you know, if you, I don't have any children, and, but just like, dar talk you like that, you just be like, look here, goddammit, I don't give a fuck what you say, you like, you 12, you have no goddamn rights at all, you come with me, goddammit, give a fuck about your mama and Barry, whoever that nigga is, just, tell Barry to suck a dick for all I care, just like, your daddy, goddammit, just, just me, and I've been drinking. Just look.
So rapid fire round while I got you. Cavs are in town. Christmas showdown at the Garden. I never give your seat away. I just go solo, but we could go. Don't even have to talk. Don't even have to look at each other. We can do just what we're doing right now and just watch the game.
Yeah, we can just look out, stare into the distance.
We're gonna lose the damn
world. We talk about the decisions we've made as actors.
So that's gonna happen.
Like, I could just ask you what the hell is up with After Earth, what the hell is that shit about?
We've got an offer from Omnicom, and it's real. $17 a share. Please consider, because, because they make total creative control, and they let everybody keep their jobs, which I know you care about, because you love these people.
Here's my question. If he doesn't want to leave anymore doing, why the fuck does he go to work? Why did he go to work and put it? Why the hell did he go to work and put everybody through this shit? Like, look, here's the montage of people working, and he is just going there, not doing shit, and playing with dominoes and everything, and not talking to people like he's Richard Mulligan in SOB. That's a long reference. I don't know if you ever see that movie, but that his character reminded me of Richard Mulligan's character in SOB. We just saw Kate Winslet looking on some kind of website. It was a fertility website. I don't know what the hell it was. And then here we go with Keira Knightley. I was wondering, like, because we got three actresses from another country, from England, in this movie, and Kate is American in this movie, and Keira is not. So it's just like, was this like a decision they just personally made? Just like Kate was like, I'm gonna be American in this movie, and then with. And, okay, Keira Knightley runs off because she was in line for a job, but for some, apparently, you know, she heads off because, and now Edward Norton follows her, even though he's got like a goddamn job to do, but, you know, Keira Knightley was just so illuminating in that those couple of minutes, he just like, I gotta follow her in my khakis. And my goddamn 38 special guitarist waistcoat. He kind of looks like the guy. Remember the guitarist from 38 special? And now we hear in the theater background. Oh, goddamn it, Helen! I know you're 70, but God, you know, it's just. Just like the things you do to me. And she's in the middle of this theater with Keira Knightley and Jacob Lattimore. Here we go and establish that they're all actors in this big ass theater. I can't believe. If you've ever been in like an actor run theater, you know, it's never this large. Like, at best, it is the size of a living room. So, well, they got this large-ass theater in the round, apparently. Really, how the fuck all these people got involved with this movie? It's just...
Sorry, I don't know your name.
Amy. It reminds me, you ever see the movie The Big Picture, the Christopher Guest movie The Big Picture, and there's that scene where they're showing all the short films the college kids did, and one college kid had this all-star cast, but the movie was shitty as hell. That's what this reminds me of. Just like somebody knew somebody. So like when the, I guess when the executive producer is like a super agent at CAA, and got this movie, I can get all these stars. But yeah, just the script ain't shit, but you know, all these stars here and there, and they'll make it work, which the unfortunately they tried their damnedest, but it's still a shitty movie. Just living with his moms. God damn this. Right, that right there, like a white, well, actually, I was about to say, like, you know, a white dude's gonna live their mom, but I actually know several white men that live with their mothers at this point, because the, you know, of course, the economy and everything, and fuck everybody, I think everybody is living with their mom at the point. If my mother was still alive, I'd certainly be living with her right now. I'm 40, ain't got shit going on, so just, I'm back in Houston trying to make something with my life, so I'm living with this dude named Mark in his den, so, God damn it. This is where Edward Norton gets the idea to fuck with his friend's mind from his mama and going back to these old tapes and everything.
Okay, I have kind of a wild idea, and I know you're gonna laugh at me, but remember that we're desperate and hear me out. So my mom hasn't been totally in her right mind since her stroke, right? And I'm always trying to remind her what's actually going on and correct the sort of gaffy things that she says, and it upsets her and it really stresses me out, and it was pretty much just awful for a while, and then someone said something very, very wise to me. They said, maybe you should stop trying to force your reality on her and just go into her reality.
I thought you couldn't afford therapy anymore.
I can't. It was my Uber driver.
Oh,
he was totally right.
Okay, yeah, that was...
Everything got easier, you know?
God, from an Uber driver, that was...
...conversational game. She says whack-a-doodle stuff, and I respond to it, and she's totally happy, and...
That got something of a laugh when I saw it in the theater. It was like, oh, yeah, Uber driver, that was funny. Just, I kind of think that was, you know, Frankel added that line, because Frankel, I believe, used to write, do sitcom writing. So. Okay, what was this part about?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm lost here too.
We can't get Howard to deal with this reality that we need him to deal with, and he's writing letters to abstractions, which makes no sense, but he's doing it. So what if we just go into his reality and we get those abstractions to answer him?
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
Or how about we just say, hey, Nick, I know you're going to some hard stuff, but... Listen, you got an entire company to run, so well, get your goddamn act together. I know you're grieving, but it's been 3 years, but the goddamn, I do something, or we're gonna kick your ass out to the curb or something like that. But yeah, just basically. I think, yeah, Helen Mirren is American in this movie. So once again, just like, it's a...
Gaslight? Oh, my God. Does nobody ever watch anything longer than 8 seconds anymore?
What she's saying is, you want to stop making movies like this.
Yeah, exactly.
She's got her hair down. That's, God damn it. That's not really her hair, but, you know, the way she's rocking the hair is just fuck. Just.
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll do it. 20,000 each.
You guys just said 15. I heard you say 15.
I like 20.
I like 20 as well.
Well, 20 is just, it's a little steep. I'm like, I was thinking 2. These guys probably live in Brooklyn. They pay $600
a job pulling them down.
This is horrible. This is completely wrong.
No, right. If they got $20,000 to give away. I'm pretty sure they can come up with a plan that's a lot less disturbing than what they have. Yeah, just. So that's why we're going to fuck with his mind. And this is...
Who used to be fearless, used to love life, and right now he hates it. And you really think that this is going to help him? He lost his child. And now he doesn't care if he loses everything else. We just can't let that happen. We have to bring him back.
With this plan that kind of makes no sense. So...
No, I don't mean the legal rules. I mean the rules of the theatrical device. I mean, do other people see us or only Howard?
Yeah, do other people see them?
What?
I guess only Howard. Is that the effect we're looking for, right?
Yes.
You guess? I mean, I'm sorry. Have you thought this through?
Sure.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't. But shut up. Like, we haven't. For instance, what if they go into a bar and they want to order a drink?
This goes on for a while. So
enough. We have the power to be seen by whomever we want, whenever we want.
Okay, I've just drank my second beer, so hopefully this will tide me through for the next 30 minutes. Jacob Lattimore is one of those kids, like, I know he's done things, but I forget what. Like, I can't keep track of these young motherfuckers anymore. Just, I know I saw him in something. I know he's somebody's cousin, but it's just like... And now he's on that goddamn bike again. Just, yeah, for a movie set in New York, I keep thinking that they did this as like a big soundstage on the Warner's lot. And here we go with the goddamn coffin and shit. It just like remind you that he's gonna die soon. I hate it when people cough in movies. They're just like oh, he's gonna die. They never do anything like, you know, he wakes up one morning and he shits blood. And just like, oh man, shit, blood, so he's gonna die. But no, it's always the coughing.
And that's it. Okay, so here's how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna come to him angry, like pissed off, like, we got a problem. No, don't do that.
He's calling me wood and dead tissue. He's calling me out.
How's he
Well, like he's looking at this like it's a rap battle. Fresh Prince is calling me out, son. I got step to him, son. The fuck is this person saying now? Keira Knightley, and I'm assuming Keira Knightley chose this role because Joe Wright didn't have anything for it at the moment, so he just like, I'll just go to New York and I'll just shoot this movie with this overqualified cast and just. If you haven't figured it out yet, Edward Norton's trying to hit that. So, trying to see if he can hit Keira Knightley and shit. So. And of course, here's the scene where Will Smith's outside looking at this support group led by a Naomi Harris, a beautiful black lady with a history. And I don't know if I should reveal the M. Night Shyamalan twist yet to that. There's so many supposed twist at the end. You're just like, oh, God damn it. Yeah. And what is up with this? Because, like, they come up when they first, when the Love, Death, Time characters come up to Will Smith, they're all out of focus at first. And then they come in the focus, and like I don't know what that shit's all about. Just trying to build up some illuminating thing where, you know, they're out of focus for Will Smith, and then once they come into focus, it all comes together. I don't know. Just.
Who did you write the letter to?
Oh, I'm looking like that Phyllis Diller with that blue ruffles and everything. Just
darn, don't you? Nope.
Yeah, no, I haven't this. Yeah, and your beautiful looking 70-year-old woman. And I'm sure if things were different, you and me and Susan Sarandon would have a nice little three-way, but you know, I ain't handling this. And also, if Will Smith does, you know, I love how Will Smith is just all down dumps, but he can afford some nice-ass Nike cross trainers in every scene. Yeah, some cool-ass, you know, Nike cross training, running shoes, whatever, now he's got these blue numbers on. God damn it! They got Helen looking like Madam. Remember the puppet Wailing Flowers and Madam? They got looking like fucking Madam up in here. Shit! I am not feeling this.
Good
like cabbage is good.
Possible.
And here we are back at the support group with Miss Moneypenny.
I was furious. But he was sleeping, so I couldn't talk to him. I mean, what nurse promises this dying 5-year-old little boy he could go home? He barely had any white blood cells.
I don't know who this person is, but you know, she turned it out for the small scene that she had.
Who could do that?
wakes up and I go to him. You know, his little blue suitcase was still at the edge of the bed, right? So I look at him and ask, who said that to you, sweetie? Who said that you could come back to our house? You know what he said? Nobody, mommy. I'm not going back to our house. I'm going home.
Alright, that's a big emotional scene and shit, so.
He died 4 hours later.
And here comes the Fresh Prince coming in, seeing if maybe I should sit in this thing, maybe not. I should, because I have a dead daughter. And I need to grieve in this on some level, but stop being a dick about it, but. They're smiling at each other, so there's a. So it's just like how I'd be so comfortable with each other at first. Why would they be so comfortable? And just maybe he's just comfortable with everybody, but why is he so comfortable with him all of a sudden? Just. Yeah, that's nothing. Apparently, he can't say her name for some reason. Just. Yeah, please, Howard, just sit your ass down and just try to cope with this. Is that mustard yellow? Is that a mustard yellow sweater she's wearing? Why is he always in that goddamn orange.
Why'd you decide to come in tonight? Yeah, I've seen you
like orange hoodie, like a.
In,
keep thinking he's about to go to a work site or something.
Yeah.
You want to mess up my jam?
Exactly.
What's your name?
I'm Madeline. My daughter's name was Olivia. She died of a rare form of brain cancer known as glioblastoma multiforme, or GBM for short. She was 6 years old. What was your daughter's name, Howard?
I got it. Man, why does he do that thing with his.
Fine.
That church lady thing with his lips?
Thank you.
Just. And hope you do come back, because if you don't come back, there won't be that twist at the end. And here he goes with the fucking Legos, dominoes, I don't know what the hell they are. I hate these things. Build them up again. I love this way he comes to work for this. Just the whole thing is for him to just go to work and to play with dominoes.
No,
Everybody, like, if I was Edward Norton and all, I would just hire somebody, just roll up them, and, nigga, you up here playing with dominoes? That's your whole thing, dog? That's your whole thing, fam? You just up here playing with dominoes and shit? Just like, you grown-ass man playing with dominoes. Who the fuck plays with dominoes at your age? They got you a grown-ass, get your ass out of my face. You ain't just building dominoes and shit. You ain't doing nothing productive to society, goddammit. Your grown ass playing dominoes. Of course, we find out that Michael Peña is sick, and because if you haven't figured out from all the immense coughing he's been doing in this goddamn movie, he's sick. And now Dame Helen finds out. Now everyone's dying, but he's dying and shit. And, is this a co-op? Is this like one of those co-ops that they make fun of on Broad City? That's where you're shopping at? There ain't nothing more hipstery than shopping for food at a co-op and everything. Hey, don't talk to Dame Helen like that, man. He's a legend and she's still fine as hell, so fuck you, man. You're gonna be in the Chips movie. What do you know? God damn it. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the Chips movie, so I need to see if there's gonna be a screening for that soon. Well, here's a good idea. Don't pay that woman $20,000 to fuck over your friend. Just hold on to that. And he's got... Oh, here we go. Once again, at the out-of-focus, in-focus bullshit. And here we got Jacob Lattimore coming in to with a rap beef. Yeah, I'm ready for your ass, Fresh Prince. They don't talk about how you destroy all that's good in the world. How you turn beauty into ash. And that's some bullshit, Howard. If love is creation and death is destruction, I'm just a terrain in between. You don't understand time. No one understands time. I mean, Einstein came close when he said I was an illusion. Howard, hey, listen, I'm sure it's a no, but Oneida Apparel asked. This is a long ass time to respond to somebody. Yeah, Kate Winslet still got going on, goddammit. Why did you write me anyway? You wrote me because you need me. I've always been sweet on Kate, going all the way back to Titanic when she was just like, I want you to paint me like one of your French girls, Leo. I want you to paint me like one of your French girls, Jack. That was the character's name, Jack and Rose. And then she got on that, got that thing on her neck, and they Jack painted her and everything. But I digress. Yeah, just knock those dominoes down, Jacob Lattimore.
That was the worst thing I've ever done.
Really?
The worst thing
ever.
What was that thing you said about Einstein in
there? I'm trying to think what's the worst thing Kate Winslet has ever done. She's been in any shitty movies.
What's that even mean? Time doesn't go
from January to December or from noon to midnight.
What about the holiday? What about that Nancy Myers bullshit she did? What about what about Labor Day? Oh, I forgot about Labor Day. I got friends who hate that movie. I just like whatever, but they hate the hell out of Labor Day with her and Josh Brolin just holding her son hostage, and they make an apple pie or cobbler together or whatever. Yeah, it's there. Kate Winslet's on some shitty ass films. Let's just keep it real. So, but hey, she did The Reader, or as I like to call it, illiterate Nazi cougar. That movie, I just. Oh, and here's the out of focus. Here she is with Keira Knightley. Go again. Yeah, don't interrupt the black man when he's eating, goddamn it. You might cut your hand off and shit. Keira Knightley is really getting the cry face on. You get at this. Did he walk out without paying? Just like, do people just like walk out of places without paying and shit? Ah, god damn it, man.
It's a promotion.
Ah, they're flirting. Here they are in the big ass theater that I still don't believe they own. Which I'm sure is expensive as shit. But, of course, this movie does not detail that much. But I'm pretty sure anybody who works in movies can tell you how expensive it is to digitally remove people. But, here you go, back the support group and shit. So, am I saying "and shit" too much? This is what happens when you've been drinking, you just run out of perfect words to describe what the hell is happening. So, did Will Smith have a lunch meeting with Giancarlo Esposito and said, yeah, how do you make your hair look like that? Because that's why I want to, I have the waves, but, I'm playing like an old man who's been hit in the ass by grease. So I need your type of graying waviness, Giancarlo. Just, can you help me out here?
conversation with me?
Better have a conversation with her, goddammit, that's Naomi Harris! You know, especially since she doesn't... She's looking good in this movie and not as cracky as she was in Moonlight. It's just... I mean, isn't Naomi Harris British? God damn it! Just like a bunch of British women in this movie, like, doing whatever accent suits them. But I guess, yeah, I don't know. Just... Oh, Jesus. Just... Like, all the women in this movie is British. Just... Oh, here's a part of the puzzle that you should pay attention to.
Now we are. The most romantic gesture you ever made. So to answer your question, yes, I still love him.
Yeah, that just remember, keep that in the back of your head. I'm actually looking to see if Naomi Harris is actually British.
You're gonna think I'm crazy.
Tiny.
Can I show you?
Dead tissue that won't decompose.
He was sitting right here. Just a mean, little, arrogant thug.
Mean, little, arrogant thug. Yeah, she's from London. God, oh man, just. Nothing but Brit accents in this movie. Yeah.
So death is her.
Yeah, it turns out death's elderly white woman.
What was the trade? You said death wouldn't make the trade. What did that mean?
When we realized my daughter was dying, I prayed.
You see, there was a slip of the tongue. He said R. And then just, then he said my daughter and just. See, that was intentional right there, just to throw, give you a clue of what the fuck is gonna go down. This is a big hit. I can't go over how big the theater is for these three people just to be running it. Just
I Googled you.
You did?
Yeah. You came from nothing. Put yourself through Duke.
Like, how are you afford to even keep that chandelier on, let alone just keep this large ass theater running? Here we get to the part where she kind of explains the title, but she doesn't. What the fuck does that mean?
In the next room, my 6-year-old daughter was being taken off life support. And this woman says collateral beauty.
People don't know what to say in those moments.
No. She did. I just didn't get it at the time. See, it wasn't said out of sympathy or awkwardness. It was from experience. About a year later, something started to happen to me, you know? I would be walking or on the subway or whatever, and I would just burst into tears. But these weren't Olivia tears. These were tears born from something else, from this kind of profound connection to everything.
So is that collateral beauty? I don't know. Just, to anybody.
Collateral beauty.
I just don't know what the fuck collateral is. Just, is it like American Beauty when the dude, you know, did the film of the paper, the plastic black bag in the wind? Is it, there's so much beauty in the world I can't stand. Is that what it is? And if it is, just say that shit. Just, ugh. Yeah, it's there. It's collateral beauty. Whatever the fuck you want to say collateral beauty is, just that's what it is, goddammit. Just...
We need to talk to them, Howard.
Well, I'm sorry, but I appreciate your story, but I'm not really feeling the collateral beauty thing.
Neither am I, but hey, that's how the movie works.
Yes, though. Reason with them. Challenge them. Just engage.
Underneath, is that the Brooklyn Bridge or some shit? Like, it's some bridge, and they're underneath it because it's very scenic. And they're just make sure the shot of the bridge is in the background to show that it is shot in New York. Okay.
She blames me for the divorce, and so she's angry at me.
I become... Is that a thing? Can you become love? Because I think somebody needs to go around and tell people you can become love, so, because a lot of us feel fucked up, so it's been, especially minorities. Yes, because, you know, most of the time we feel like shit, you know, it's just not, love barely fits in the equation, so. So if all this bullshit is true, you know, it needs to be preached out more often, so. And here's a shot of the bridge to remind people, hey, we shot this shit in New York. Yeah, that letter will play in it once again later on. Huge part of the story, though. It's shit. So. And he is about to go on his bike, hollering at love, time, and death again. Here comes Tom on a skateboard. Of course, when you're young, you can fall down in the middle of the street and get back up, but...
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of things I'd like to say to you.
Say. You just waste time. See, I give you a gift, you just waste.
I don't care about time. This is a prison sentence! I don't want your gift! Because you took her.
Wait a minute, you gonna come back for the rap battle, Fresh Prince? And there's hand out with the camera, which is, here's something I was always wondering. It's like, because they said, you should know right now if you haven't seen it already, Love, Time, and Death technically don't exist. So, sorry for spoiling the big twist. One of the big twists early, but it's just like they don't necessarily exist. So, did they digitally remove Love, Time, and Death, or was it look like did it look like he wasn't talking to anybody at all? That could have been a scene in the movie. That could have been like a big reveal when the detective comes back to Edward Norton and Kate Winslet and them and said, "Oh, we didn't have to digitally remove anything. It's just like he was just talking out in the wind, and it just we didn't have to do anything." And that could have been a big reveal. But no, Dave Frankel and Alan Loeb, who wrote this bullshit, they forgot that part and just. It is, this is a fucked up movie. It's giving me a migraine just explaining the plot and how it unfolds.
I've heard all of your plans. I got them. I know she's in a better place. And this is all a part of a mass.
And I'm pretty sure this is the part of the movie where Will Smith said, okay, I'll do it. Because it's a big monologue where he explains why he's the way he is. And just like, okay, everything in this movie is just shitty and fucked up, but I'll do the movie just to do this monologue.
Merrily,
I'm sure after he did this scene, just like Will Smith, just give me the Oscar now, goddammit. I'm tired. Just give me the Oscar, because that was some Oscar caliber shit right there, but. There's another thing, just how do they all know the love time of death, all know when the hell Will Smith was gonna be?
And you betrayed me. I saw you every day in her eyes. And I heard you in her voice when she laughed. And I felt you inside of me when she called me daddy.
Okay, now that line could be portrayed as creepy right there.
No.
Simon called daddy and just...
I'm in all of it. I'm the darkness and the light. I'm the sunshine and the storm. Yes, you're right. I was there in her laugh. But I'm also here now in your pain. I'm the reason for everything. I am the only why. Don't try and live without me, Alan. Please don't.
I want to talk about Keira Knightley's forehead so badly, but I'm not gonna do it. Just oh well. Should I get another beer or should I not? Just cause it's at that moment, but these Voodoo Ranger IPAs, they kick very momentous ass. Yeah, this is all the boardroom watching him lose his mind, not talking to anybody who could be there, who could not be there. It's never properly explained. That's just having that play while he's looking at them. Felt you inside me when she called me daddy. Once again, a creepy line. It can be heard as creepy and seen as creepy. So.
Thank you.
Why did Will Smith have to look so ashy in this movie? Just I want to just buy him a case of Palmer's cocoa butter for me, just to just. Yeah, you should be sorry, goddammit. You're making a black man look bad in front of a bunch of white people. I mean, when you think about it, there's a underlying racist motif to this movie. This is a black man with power, and here these three people trying to look like he doesn't deserve any of this. I love this scene where just like Will Smith's like he's not out of it to know about it, what's going on in all of their lives. So just like he's, as long as I am here, so he's just your family will be cared for. Oh man, just this movie is just insufferable. So you know that all these people are going through all this shit, and you're still moping around like a bitch. So is he broke now? That's what I'm wondering about. I love just like footage of him talking to people, and everybody's like, "Yeah, we should institutionalize him." Once again, he's moping around, he's depressed, but he can't afford some fly ass new sneakers. Need to go and get some clean ass sneakers. I'm pretty sure it's the same shot of him riding across the bridge that we saw earlier, but he's still coughing. I was asking other people if they wanted to do this in Houston. I asked my friend Michael Szczesny, but he hasn't seen it, so I just said to myself, fuck it, I'll just drink some beer and just do it my damn self. Shout out to Michael Szczesny out there. He's listening. Fuck it, I'm getting another beer. I'll be right back. I'll keep the whole thing playing. All right, I'm back. I'm going to start drinking again. Here's Kate Winslet in a shady part of town. Ready to hand over $20,000 to a dude that doesn't really exist. Of course, she's gonna make a good mom when she's got those nice child-bearing hips. You don't get your goddamn 87 flat top ass on the stage. Oh goddamn it! I'm losing it now. Just got that earring stud in his goddamn ear. Just. Oh, this. And now here's this bullshit. I'm your goddamn father. You see, you better pay attention to me, goddammit.
So you're gonna stop me?
Well, yes, basically.
Well, what if I get a restraining order?
Well, I don't think you're gonna be able to do that.
Well, I'll get mom to pay for it.
Well, for your information, they're free.
Well, then I'll get you to pay for it.
I really love you.
Mom says you put you that word.
Not when I say it to you. Look, I can't fly you to Maine for lunch.
First of all, let's talk a minute about, since we're going on about haircuts now, let's talk about Edward Norton's Jimmy Neutron ass looking haircut. Just what is that? Is this, it's, they got like the, that cut where they just like turn the cowlick into a, like a top, and just, I don't even know how to describe it. Just... They did you dirty in this movie, Dame Helen. Just want to let you know. Just... Michael Pena gives her a check. Kate Winslet gives the kid like $20,000 in an envelope, and that's another thing. Just basically, just they give money to people that don't exist. So just did Love, Time, and Death just shake these people down? That's basically it's like this is the craziest goddamn movie. I mean, if you're watching this, if you've seen this already and you just like as just taken aback as me as how all this came together, and they still said, hey, let's make a movie. But sure, none of it makes no sense at the end. But hey, just it's still a movie. We have this huge cast.
And I would be the man, you know.
Shot in beautiful New York. Cause and we show enough landmarks in the movie to prove that was shot in New York.
See you around, Paul. I wish I could be here to see the play. Oh no, the play's dead after all this. But you never know. Nothing's ever really dead if you look at it right.
What the fuck does that mean? Nothing's really dead if you look at it. It's, some things just die, girl. That's... Oh, man. I'm tired of Sign, because this is my response to everything that goes on. Has got it. And also, I think it's the last time we see Michael Pena in this movie. I love this. It's like, yeah, Michael Pena's going to die, but we're just going to leave that scene on the cutting room floor, just like, fuck it. Like, he's going to die, that's the last we'll see of him. Yeah, of course, this is the scene where we get the big, one of the big twists in the film, where, now some of you may be wondering, how the hell did he know where Miss Moneypenny live? And I'm sure as the scene progresses, we will find out all the interesting things, just the things about these two characters. I mean, when I watched this first time, I was just like, wait a minute, did he know where the hell she lived, or she didn't? And like a dumbass, I was upset that I didn't pick up on this immediately. I was too busy on the other twist about Love, Time, and Death that this didn't even... I didn't even pick up on this.
You've been crying.
I was watching a video I took a
daughter. She's dancing with her father in it. Can I show it to you, Howard?
Does she have a basement? I just noticed. Does that go? Does like a staircase go down to a basement? Here we go again, where we find out. And then we go to the TV where now some of you've been wondering if I'm like been making a mockery out of a kid dying and parent driven. Like, I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying. This movie does a fucked up job at this. Just because it's just... Make it into this huge... melodramatic... surreal... dream-like... whatever the fuck. And we got this dude... who's so distraught. He's... screwing over... and like his friends and entire company. And just he's so... If he was like this all the time, you should have put him in an institution, because he's like, he's not the grown-ass man. He's just running around like a zombie trying to kill himself. It's just, I think there's a time to intervene with the police and call an ambulance or something. But no, there's like, even now, it's just this whole thing about him and the wife carrying on this... weird thing where they're pretending to be strangers again so they can get back. What the fuck's all this bullshit about? And it's just, yeah, the TV showing Olivia how to play dominoes and all that. Ugh, I hate dominoes. I think some people in North Carolina were responsible for the dominoes. If I remember in the screening, the audience was informed that people from North Carolina was responsible for the dominoes, so... good looking out for them, but the dominoes were an annoying part of the movie, I gotta say. These dominoes can go to hell for all I care. Punk ass dominoes. And here we going back to... flashing back to that whole Collateral Beauty story and all that shit.
Are you losing somebody? I'm sorry. Who are you losing?
Oh shit, it's Death and coming back to, like, because Death is here for some reason. Just yeah, let her know about the collateral beauty and also whatever the hell that means. And here they go walking in Central Park. You know, trying to pick up the pieces of this rather insane adventure. Got a gigantic ass bag for some reason. This is, was Naomi Harris pregnant at the time, and they're just trying to distract from the bag. And here it's Love, Time, and Death just standing up, you know, right there over the on top of the bridge. And then she's like, nigga, what the fuck you looking at? What is that? And of course they go on to live, I don't know what the fuck they do, but yeah, this is, I think this is the end of the movie, which out of, with all the twists and everything, it's still a bad way to end this film, because there are so many, like, do his friends find out that Love, Time, and Death didn't exist, and that they were shaken down for lots and lots of money? That's one big, huge thing that's left unanswered. Yeah, and then it closes out. I wonder if this is how a post-credit stinger or something. Well, what did we learn? Well, we learned that this movie actually happened, and it was released in theaters. And I don't think a lot of people saw it, because a lot of the critics who reviewed it went to town on it because they couldn't believe what they were witnessing. A couple of my favorite reviews came from my good friend Matt Preget, who did this funny review of it, if you can go back and look at it. The best review came from my editor over the Village Voice, Alan. I'm not even going to pronounce his last name because I've been drinking. But, I'm not saying that because he's my editor of the Village Voice, but he made this whole big deal about how, like, if you said if you explained the plot of Collateral Beauty at a party, people look at you like you're insane. Like, this movie actually happened. As I was explaining the movie to you while I was watching it, I'm still like, it was still like, how the hell do I? Yeah, I just can't believe what I'm watching, because it's just, it's a fucked up movie. Like, three friends conspire to make their best friend crazy by invading, by breaking laws, by tampering his mail, by trying to give him the impression that these letters that he's been saying to Love, Time, and Death are actual people, and then the people show up to confront him, but of course it turns out that Love, Time, and Death aren't real. They've just, this whole time, that it's just, yeah, it's just a pain in the ass just explaining this movie. Just, once again, I want to give thanks to New Belgium Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA for helping me along through this. I want to give special shout out to Zodiac Motherfucker, who inspired me. It wasn't Riff Tracks. I know some of you, Because every time I tell people I was planning to do something like this, it's like, oh, just like riff tracks. No! It was, it's because of, Zodiac motherfucker and his legendary, commentary for Crank 2 High Voltage. I've always, admired that, commentary, and I've always said I'm gonna do one of these for this movie one of these days. So, I wanna thank you for listening to this. If you wanna listen to it, if you were listening to it, if not, whatever. But I'm done with this shit. Bye.